Daniel chapter 6 and verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, tells us that envy is the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 14, verse 30. And that being so, the presidents and the princes of Babylon were full of rottenness, full of sullen spite, brimming over with jealousy and envy. And those same presidents and princes conspired together against godly Daniel with the intention of pulling him down from his exalted position in the kingdom. Look there at verses 3 and 4. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And those same men, with rottenness in their bones, malice in their hearts, hated the man of God. They hated him because of his piety. For we have just read in verse 3 that regarding Daniel, we are told that there was an excellent spirit that was in him. And when they examined his life, they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. It's quite a testimony. Because believer, our enemies will examine us closely and minutely to see if they can find any fault in us, even as they did with the Lord Jesus. But they could find no fault in him. And they hated him because of his piety. And they hated him because of his position. He had been exalted by Darius. Verse 2 tells us over those, or these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. They couldn't handle that. They wanted to be first. They didn't like the idea that Daniel was first. Some people just cannot abide seeing others gain first place in their field. And they hated Daniel for that. They hated him because of the pureness of his conduct and character. Daniel was a holy man. We've just read that there in verse 4. But that which they hated most of all about Daniel. Yes, they hated him because of his piety and his position and his holiness of life and godliness. They hated him for that. But that which they hated most of all about Daniel was that he was a man of prayer. That's what they hated most of all. verse 10, how familiar this verse is. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did the 4 times. Let's not stop there. Look at the next verse. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let us just say in passing that here was Daniel, and he knew that a decree had been written, and it was written mainly against him. That no man in the kingdom was to pray to the God of heaven. Any requests that were to be made to the king, Darius. And here is Daniel, and he goes into his chamber. And he kneeled down and prayed. Now, he didn't kneel down and say a quick prayer and get up on his knees again, lest he would be seen. Cast into the den of lions. No. Verse 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication. Daniel was laying hold upon God, praying and making supplication before his God. But I want you to notice what it says in that verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. That word assembled, it means to meet tumultuously. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 2. We find the same word, but it is translated another way. We turn to Psalm 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? If you have a Bible margin, you'll notice how the word rage is rendered. Tumultuously assemble. In other words, it's the same word that we have in Daniel 6 and 11. There it's translated assembled. But in Psalm 2 and verse 1, it is translated rage. Now that tells us something about the presidents and the princes when they came and they saw Daniel praying and making supplication to his God. They flew into a rage. That is what angered them most of all, was the fact that Daniel had actually prayed, that Daniel was a man of prayer. Well, we all know that. We've known that from our childhood days. When we sung that little chorus, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times, even when they had him cast in the den of lions. And when these presidents and princes found Daniel praying, we're told that they flew into a rage. So Daniel's enemies were in a rage when they found him praying. Dear child of God, nothing infuriates the devil more than when he finds the people of God praying. Here's the devil's crowd. They're inspired of hell. And they're in a rage when they find this man of God praying. And the devil hates to see God's people pray. Daniel's fate was sealed. He must be cast into the den of lions. As we like to point out, Scripture speak about a den of lions, not a lion's den. You can be in a lion's den and there be no lions in it. Just a lion's den. But the Scripture speak about a den of lions. And so they led Daniel away to be cast into the den of lions. And as they led him away, King Darius, we are told, went to his palace to spend the night, and it was a night without sleep. And so this night in Babylon, we have Daniel in a den of lions. And we have King Darius in his palace, and I would guarantee this. I would guarantee that Daniel had a better night in the den of lions than the king had in his palace. For is it not better to be in a den of lions with God than to be in a palace without God? Daniel, I'm sure, spent a most restful night. But the king didn't. And regarding this night's scene, first of all, one is to consider Daniel and his night of trial. You and I know, believer, that the night can seem much darker than usual when our trials come upon us after the sun has set. And it is made worse if we have to face those trials, tribulations alone. And here we see Daniel, first of all, and his solitude. The conspirators, these presidents and princes, had all conspired against Daniel. There's quite a number of them. And they had risen up against Daniel with malice and hatred and envy in their heart. And there was Daniel, a man. And he was a man who stood alone. He didn't have the company of the three Hebrew children with him. If Daniel was going to stand for his God, if Daniel was going to be faithful to his Lord, then he had to take that stand alone. And you and I know that whenever you stand for God, very often you have to stand alone. Daniel did not have anyone to stand with him. Here we have his conspirators. The enemy, it appeared to Daniel, had come in like a flood. Daniel must stand against it. Daniel was just one man against many. And how lonely his stand appeared to be during that sore trial. Raging lords pursuing him. Roaring lions awaiting him. And believer, many, a lonely night maybe we have spent in our times of trial and trouble. And how those trials have seemed 10 times worse during the night season. We know that everything seems worse at night And we feel very alone during those times. We look behind us and we see a posse, as it were, of trials pursuing us. We look ahead and we see nothing, as it were, but a den of lions awaiting us. And the night can be long, and the night can be lonely. We do often feel very alone, and we long for the morning. It was a night of sore trial for Daniel. Daniel noticed not only his conspirators, but also his conviction. Daniel was a man of conviction. It wasn't the first time that he had to stand alone for his Lord. You turn to the first chapter of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor was the wine which he drank. Therefore he quested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I like those words in verse 8 where it says, "Now Daniel purposed in his heart." Daniel was a man of conviction. Daniel didn't go around talking to the others that had been taken into captivity, saying to this one and that one, "What are you going to do? I'll do what you do. Are you going to take some of the king's meat? Well, if you do it, I'll do it. Are you going to refuse the king's meat? Well, if you refuse it, I'll refuse it." No. Daniel was a man of conviction. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was prepared to stand alone. If no one else would eat the king's meat, it didn't matter to Daniel. He wasn't going to do it. Daniel was a man of conviction. There he is, standing alone in Daniel chapter 1. Now the prince of the eunuchs there in chapter 1 may have feared the king because he tried to persuade Daniel to take the king's meat. Prince of the eunuchs may have feared the king, but Daniel was a man who feared God. And when a man fears God, he will not fear the face of man. He will not care what man says about him. He will not care what man may do unto him, because he's a man of conviction. And he fears God. And here's Daniel, and he was not going to compromise his position and eat the king's meat. And he wasn't going to be a coward and not pray, even though he knew that if he was found praying, he'd be cast in to the den of lions. Don't you love Daniel? Don't you love men like Daniel? Men of conviction. Men who will take their stand for the Lord Jesus. No matter how strong the opposition may be, no matter what the consequences may be. And as we've already said often, you stand for God. Whether it's in public, or whether it's in private, whether it's in your home, or amongst the members of your family, you don't know the Lord. You stand for the Lord sometimes. That's a lonely stand. It's a lonely stand for Daniel. But he was a man of unshakable conviction. We notice then his courage. We read of many in Scripture who were men of great courage and conviction. Samuel, a man of courage and conviction. So was Elijah. So was Paul. And Daniel can be named amongst them. Knowing that a den of lions awaited him, he still prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And when they came to take him away, he offered no resistance. Neither did he recant. He reminds me very much of our reformers. He reminds me very much of those men, Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer and Rogers, and men that they took out and chained to the stake and challenged them to recant. And if they denied the Lord and recanted, they would be set free. But they would rather have the flames. Deny their Lord. Daniel would rather be cast into the den of lions than deny his Lord. Oh, for the spirit of Daniel. No wonder it is said of him that an excellent spirit was in him. May the Lord grant us that same spirit. And they came, as I said, to take him away to the den of lions. He offered no resistance. And we read in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And he went willingly to the place decreed by the king, where he should go. Showed great courage, didn't he? The Lord's grace is a wonderful thing. The Lord gave grace to Daniel. Lord, give grace to our reformers, to our martyrs. Give them grace to stand there, have the faggots piled around them, and then to be consumed in the flame. To hear them cry out, through the flames, Christ for me. Psalmist has written, Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage. And the Lord shall strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. And the Lord will strengthen your heart. We can see Daniel in his solitude as he goes through the trial alone. But next we see Daniel and his support. Daniel received some support on his way to the den of lions. And it came from an unexpected place. Look at that verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel. It's an ungodly king. The king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That was a good word to receive on your way to the den of lions. The God, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This was, first of all, a timely word. Timely word. Why, the Lord is good, isn't he? How often in our times of trial have we received a timely word from the Lord? It was after Moses died that the Lord came and spoke to Joshua and told Joshua to be strong and be of good courage, and I'll be with thee. It was a timely word. Joshua mourning the death of his dear friend Moses, and about to take up the mantle of Moses and lead Israel into the land of promise. It was then the Lord spoke. It was a timely word. And sometimes, believer, when the Lord has a timely word for us, it will come to us from an unexpected quarter. One of our ministers had some trouble in his church, some problem. It caused him some anxiety, concern. One night he couldn't sleep, thinking about this matter. He thought about it and thought about it, and the night was going on, and he turned round to look at the digital clock on the bedside table just to see what time it was. The time read 3:33. And immediately, this dear brother thought of a verse of Scripture with the same three digits. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. And there in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, what do we read? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that word from Jeremiah 33, verse 3, came to him as a timely word that night. And how did it come to him? Came to him through a digital clock. The Lord prompted him to think of the words of Jeremiah. My, the Lord's good. He's a sovereign God. And he can speak to us in a variety of ways. When we have to go through our nighttime trial, the Lord will always have a timely word. When you look at the words of the king to Daniel, it was not only a timely word, it was a testifying word. Look at what King Darius said about Daniel. He said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually." This ungodly king had obviously been watching Daniel as he carried out his duties as first president in the realm. And he had noticed how he served God continually. The ungodly king testified that Daniel had been consistent in his master's service. Oh, for the spirit of Daniel, once again, to be like Daniel and to live that consistent life, serving the Lord continually. For time is passing, believer. The days and the weeks and the months and the years are swiftly passing by. We haven't much time left. Need to be up and doing. Serving the Master. Why didn't Daniel spend his day as well? Serving the Lord continually. And what a comfort this in itself must have been to Daniel. We've already read his testimony. They could find no fault in him, none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful neither was there any error or fault found in him. That would have been a comfort to Daniel during his time of trial. Daniel would have known that he had served the Lord according to the grace of God as best as he could. He had sought to be faithful. And he knew then that when this trial had come upon him, it wasn't because the Lord was chastening him for some failure in his life. In fact, he was able to testify to the king when he said in verse 22, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, before the Lord, innocency was found in me." Daniel knew the Lord wasn't chastening him. This wasn't a chastening for some sin in his life. He had served the Lord continually. He had been faithful to his Lord. And when we know that by God's grace that we've done our best for the Lord, and when trials come, it's a source of great comfort. Acts 23, verse 1, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And Paul again, speaking in the second letter to Timothy, said, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience." Remember Hezekiah. When Isaiah told Hezekiah that he would die and not live, remember how Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed and wept and cried. You look at the prayer of Hezekiah. Hezekiah did not once pray, "Lord, spare my life." He didn't pray, "Lord, let me live." What did Hezekiah pray? This is what he prayed. "Remember how, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." In other words, Hezekiah let his life speak for him. And I believe that would have been a great source of comfort to Hezekiah when he was told he would die and not live. Source of comfort for Daniel too. It served the Lord continually. Not only a timely word, a word that testified to Daniel's consistent life, but it was a true word. It was true what Darius said. It was true. "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." That's true. There are times in which not even a king can help us. Darius couldn't help Daniel. And he was king of the land. He was a man with great power and authority. But we're told in verse 14, "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him," and he couldn't do it. And believer, there are times when not even the king of the land can deliver us, but the king of glory can. King of kings. And when Darius said, "The God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee,"
Darius was speaking the truth. This was a true word. Believer, the one whom we serve with a pure conscience, the times of trial the Lord is able to deliver. He is able. To the grandest theme through the ages run. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. What comforting truth this is in time of trouble, to know the Lord is able to deliver. The three Hebrew children were comforted by this truth also. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Word. You Daniel and his night of trial, you Daniel and his night of tranquility. We're told that after he had cast Daniel into the den of lions, that Darius went to his palace, and there he couldn't sleep. It might have been a night of tossing and turning for Darius, but it was a night of peace and rest and tranquility for Daniel. When Darius went to the den in the early morning, he maybe wasn't so sure that Daniel's God could deliver him. Wasn't so sure. Because we're told that when he went there, we read in verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able? Is he able to deliver thee from the lions? And the king was relieved when he heard the voice of Daniel within the den. What did Daniel say? Verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, but they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. Three things Daniel speaks of there. He says, first of all, my God has sent his angel. Then he says, and he has shut the lion's mouth. Then he says that they have not hurt me. Here we find that Daniel, during his night of trial, there in the den of lions, enjoyed the Lord's presence, because he was able to testify, my God has sent his angel. The Lord God of Daniel had manifested his presence to him by sending his angel. Three things he spoke about. What the Lord had done on that night in the den of lions. But notice what he put at the head of the list. The Lord's presence. You would think he would have said, King Darius,
The Lord shut the lion's mouth. You think he would have said, first of all, Darius, I'm not hurt. But no, Daniel said, my God has sent his angel. He put the Lord's presence first. It was his awareness of the Lord's presence that was more important to Daniel than anything else during his time of trial. Remember what the Lord said to his troubled disciples. I will not leave thee comfortless. The word comfortless there means orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. My presence will comfort you. And what was it that gave peace to Paul during his time of trial? In that last letter to Timothy, in the last chapter, in his final words to his son in the faith, Paul wrote, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge, notwithstanding. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Paul said, when everybody else forsook me and everybody else abandoned me, the Lord didn't abandon me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Praise his name. Turn to Daniel 3. Verse 25. Three Hebrew children have been cast into the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fiery furnace. And Daniel 3 and verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There's the Hebrew children in a furnace, and they're enjoying the Lord's presence. There is Daniel in the den of lions, and he's enjoying the Lord's presence. The Lord stood with him. Believer, when your cause is right, when your cause is just, and when you're standing for the Lord, you can be sure of this, the Lord will stand with you. Stood with Paul. He stood with the Hebrew children. He stood with Daniel. He not only stood with Daniel, he stayed with Daniel the whole night. So the mouth of the lions was shut right through the night. And the king came. And Daniel was able to testify. In the early morning, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. We have a wonderful Savior. For I believe the angel that stood with Daniel in the den of lions was the same person who stood with the Hebrew children in the furnace.
none other than the Son of God himself. Because that's just like him. It's just like the Savior. He'll stand with us in the fire. He'll stand with us in the den of lions. And he'll not only stand with us, he'll stay with us. No matter how hot the flames, no matter how dark and lonely the den, you can be sure of this, believer, the Lord will not leave you. He'll not abandon you. He'll not run out on you. He'll stay with you. He'll go with you all the way. Every moment of your trial, he'll stay with you. Because that's who he is. Not only do we see here the presence of the Lord, but the power of the Lord. The Lord manifested his power to Daniel in a wonderful way. He was able to say, "The Lord hath shut the lion's mouth." People today talk about the lion being the king of the jungle. I'm told it's the most powerful animal in the animal kingdom. King of the jungle. But then with Daniel was the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And what is it that is said of the Lion of the tribe of Judah? He's able to break every chain, and he's able to give us the victory again and again. And Daniel may have been in the den of lions, but there was another lion in that den. It was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. King was with Daniel. Not only is the Lord able to shut the mouths of the lion, but dear Christian, the Lord's able to shut the mouth of the roaring lion that roars against you and me every day. Brings us false accusations against us. The Lord's able to shut his mouth too. Daniel also enjoyed the protection of the Lord. Notice that the Lord did not deliver Daniel from entering the den of lions. He could have. He wanted to. If it was his will and purpose, he could have kept Daniel from ever entering the den of lions. He could have kept Daniel from this trial. But he didn't. His permissive will allowed Daniel to be taken, arrested, and cast into the den of lions. And believer, the Lord may not deliver us from our trials. The Lord may not keep us from having trials, but you can be sure of this, he'll go with us through our trials and he'll deliver us out of our trials. As Paul told Timothy, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul suffered persecution and affliction, and he said, what persecutions I endured,
But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. As he delivered the three Hebrew children, they still had to go through the furnace. But while they were there, they enjoyed the presence of the Son of God. And when they came out, there wasn't even the smell of smoke about them. The Lord delivered them out of their trial. And finally, of Daniel and his night of triumph. Started off as a night of trial, ended in a night of triumph. But we read there, in verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Same lions. Same lions. Daniel spent the night with. Here we have the punishment of his enemies. You take your stand for God, the Lord will take care of your enemies. And here the presidents and the princes were cast into the very den that they hoped would destroy Daniel. Just like Haman, he was hung on the very gallows he had built for the Jews. God is a wonderful way of working. You have the punishment, you have the publication, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. In verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, dwell in all the earth. In verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. See what happened through Daniel's stand? It had effect upon the whole nation. The whole nation now heard about the God of Daniel. How the Lord blessed Daniel's stand. Believer, take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you never know how the Lord will bless that stand. And why was Daniel delivered from the den of lions? The end of verse 23 says, because he believed in his God. That's where his trust and his faith was. And then you have the prosperity. For the chapter ends, so this Daniel prospered. In the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God prospered him. He could have compromised. In the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, didn't. The Lord prospered him. He could have compromised in the reign of Darius. He didn't. And the Lord prospered him. The Lord's no man's debtor, believer. Let us take our stand for the Lord as Daniel did. We may have our nights of trial, but we'll also have our nights of triumph. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving and gracious Father, we pray that Thou would write the word in our hearts. Lord, when trials come, help us to remember Daniel. Help us to remember what Daniel's God did for him. And, O Lord, we know that we have a God who is able to deliver. We know we have one, a blessed Savior, who will stand with us in the storm and who will stay with us through the storm. Bless his name. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. Go with us to our homes. Loving Father, bless our visitors tonight. as they return home and bless our brother's ministry to the building up of the saints of God, the salvation of the lost. And Lord, do that here also. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.